KFNB.com. San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFNB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer. Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life on this drizzly Sunday night with 50,000 watts of power being heard, not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, Riverside County, up to Seattle on a good night. And now it is time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist and founder of the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation. He's a core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable of San Diego. Did I leave anything out? Mr. Richard Muzio, good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, you left all the important stuff out.
And a marathon runner on top of that. So
Not in this weather.
Well, not in this weather. How you doing tonight, Richard?
I'm good. I'm doing better than the Charger.
Yeah, oh, geez. Don't even go. At 21 zip, I shut it off. What did it wind up?
I think it was 28.7.
Ugh.
Okay. Wave the white flag.
My gosh. So
it's over.
But anyway, and on another sad note, I guess we can't get into the show without mentioning what everyone else is talking about, that awful tragedy in Connecticut. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families and victims. And I don't think they'll ever have a Christmas holiday again without going through this memory. Don't you agree, Richard?
It seems like we talk about this too often on our show. Just a few months ago, we said the same thing about our thoughts and prayers with the families in Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we go again in Newtown, Connecticut.
I think with the age of these victims, I don't think we've ever experienced anything like this. And the only thing I could say is, you know, going through Facebook and everything else, Nicholas Kristof at the New York Times wrote a very interesting op-ed piece with some very thoughtful comments. You know, he doesn't want to get rid of all guns or anything like that, but let's bring the NRA in on this and let's get some consensus and try to come up with some preventive measures. I mean, no one wants to take guns away, but we sure didn't want that nut job to have his guns, you know, and the Aurora and everybody else. And there's 100,000 Americans shot every year. I don't know what number is killed, but 20% are age 0 to 19 who die. Who get shot. It's all on the look that you go to the Brady website, Brady campaign for to prevent gun violence. After James Brady, who was the press aide to President Reagan when he was shot in 1981. So, you know, they've been working at this for all these years to try and get some more thoughtful legislation and measures. I think bottom line, Richard, it should be at least as difficult to get a gun license as it is to get a driver's license. And I don't think that's the case right now. Don't you agree?
I guess it depends on the state you're in. I know some states are tougher mm-hmm. than others. What I read was 12,000 Americans die every year from gunshots, inflicted injuries, of which one quarter are under the age of 18. Yeah. Which would be 3,000.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at some data today. So anyway, I'm sure all those numbers will be getting out there. And let's hope our political leaders and all sides get together on this and try to come up with some better ideas. Because obviously, you know, it's not working what we've been doing. And anyway, on a positive note, you saw Chasing Ice, right? The documentary I had
mm-hmm. Good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is, the question isn't, is there global warming? The question is there not global warming?
Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
And we'll talk with Judge Robert Coates next Sunday, because he gets into that quite a bit. That's been one of his passions, the environment and climate change. So, and then just one other note before we get into the show is a documentary. It's been out for a while, actually, but I just saw it this week, and it's called Forks Over Knives. And, boy, that's a real eye-opener about what we can do to help ourselves if we just, change our diet a little bit, getting plant-based. This one doctor said, he made the claim that if we went into a Whole Foods plant-based diet, that we could reduce healthcare costs by 70% to 80%. So, and you've seen that film, right?
I saw that quite some time ago. It's quite good.
Yeah.
You know, about 90% of type 2 diabetes in this country now is self-induced.
Yeah.
Poor diet combined with lack of exercise.
Yeah. And then you mentioned we'll probably do a future show with one of your friends from the county, right?
Well, we can get, I've had some thoughts about some folks we can get in, but certainly the gentleman who heads up San Diego County Health Department would be an interesting person in, because the entire initiative here in San Diego County is to try to reduce poor diets in teens because of the type 2 diabetes epidemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have some interesting guests on next year. There's no question about that.
Right. Well, we certainly have interesting guests tonight, so maybe we ought to launch into that. What do you say?
Let's do it. Don Epic, CPA, San Diego's Epic CPA, is our guest tonight.
He is. And then, of course, Paul Polito, his partner, was supposed to be here, but he's...
Yeah, I mean, Don and I went out to dinner at a Chinese restaurant. I said, usually we get stomach flu after the dinner at the Chinese restaurant, not before, but Paul got it before.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure
he's not here tonight. Hey, Paul, if you're listening in, get better.
Yes, absolutely. So, anyway.
So, Don, welcome.
Thank you.
We're wearing our parachutes tonight because we might be falling off of a cliff.
Yes. That may be the case.
Maybe we could talk about the
maybe
fiscal.
Maybe it's a bungee jump.
Yeah, a bungee jump.
Maybe by the end of the show, we could talk about a fiscal plateau or mesa. And cliff sounds so dire and whatnot. So, I think last show you guys were on, I don't know if it was you or Paul said that taxes had never been better for people of income as far as the upper levels and whatnot, right? I mean, tax rates.
That's correct.
So, what's everyone up in uproar about?
Well, it's just going to get worse. That's what it is.
I mean, if it's the best it's ever been right now, I mean, okay, so we're gonna backpedal a little bit, but I'm sure Warren Buffett's not going to miss too many meals and whatnot.
But, Joe, look, nobody wants to pay more income taxes. And it's my opinion, it's not so much the fact that tax rates are going up. The real challenge in the economy as far as taxes go is nobody knows what the rules are going to be in, let's see, what's the date today? Nobody knows what the rules are going to be in 17 days.
Well, maybe we should have thought this before we got into those costly trillion-dollar wars, right? I mean, those really kicked up the national debt. So I guess this is all related to the health of the national economy in the government economy, right?
Right. I mean, the big issues are, like you just said, we've had two wars. Way any entity operates is you get cash receipts and cash disbursements. Cash receipts for government is tax revenues and borrowings, and disbursements is all expenditures. And basically what's happened is the tax revenues have been less than the expenditures. And so the borrowings have gotten to a point where we've had the debt ceiling issue in 2011, where we had to increase the limit. We're about to approach that limit again soon. The limit's at $16.4 trillion.
Wow.
And so this is
And our GDP, I mean, our debt is about to exceed our GDP if it hasn't already. Is that correct?
Right. Right now, I think we're right around 100%.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
And, yeah, actually, that's a good comment you had. I was at a conference recently, and they showcased this chart where they showed at the World War II levels, we were at 120%. The inflation that incurred over the next 15 to 20 years actually solved the national debt issue. So that's something that the presenter brought up that hadn't really looked at before. So inflation could be the solution here.
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, that's not going to be soon because I think the Fed is fairly committed to keeping interest rates low through 2015 at this point, based on everything that I'm hearing and reading about and my inside information that I get from lobbyists and so on in D.C. So, yeah, I mean, inflation, I've often thought inflation might be the way out of it, but the pain and suffering involved for so many individuals and businesses would be, well, I guess more than anybody wants to take a chance on.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we sit. So, Don, let me... Well, first of all, give us your background. Tell us about your CPA firm, because you guys have a really interesting CPA firm.
Okay, thank you. Richard, you hired me 17 years ago.
I did. It's true.
So it's very interesting.
It's very interesting.
But 10 years ago, Polito Epic was formed. And our firm is, we just hired two new kids right out of school. So right now we have a total of 12 full-time employees. And we get up to 16, 17 people during our tax season. Our focus is primarily on closely held businesses. About 50% of our work is tax-related. 35 to 40% is the test practice, which is audit, review, compilation. And the balance is consulting. The industries that we service are construction, real estate, manufacturing, wholesale distributors. And then we do have a niche of card rooms, casinos that we audit.
Interesting.
And our focus is primarily on industries with revenues in the $2 to $50 million annual revenue range.
Interesting.
But the range is startup to our largest client is they'll hit $200 million in revenue next year.
Excellent.
So let me ask you a philosophical question before we talk about some of the things that might be happening with the tax code. Here's my question. Are all $250,000 per year income taxpayers the same, or are some different? I ask this because we seem to have this magic number floating around. It might be $200,000 for single and $250,000 for married couples, above which they should pay more income tax. But I know business owners who own their own business who make $250,000. I also know employees of companies who make $250,000. I don't think they're the same taxpayer, because in one case you have a taxpayer who takes a lot of risk to make his money. In the other case, you have a taxpayer not taking nearly as much risk. That would be the employee making his money. What are your thoughts on this $200,000, this $250,000, and should all taxpayers be treated the same?
I agree with you. They're not the same, especially if the W-2 employee has no risk. That is not the same as a business owner who's got mortgages, payroll commitments, etc., trying to manage cash flow, trying to manage their own, well, not their own, but the business's obligations. Those things can change in a heartbeat.
Well, Richard, the owner could always fire the $250,000 employee, though, if things get rough and get somebody.
Yeah, but Joe, you need to have bodies, and have bodies to get work done. Because there's some things I think missing in the tax code that are designed for the $250,000 a year taxpayer who owns their own business. For example, the research and development credit expired last year, which is inconceivable to me that in this country we don't have any income tax incentive right now for businesses to do R&D. That to me, I mean, that's shocking. There may be limitations. I mean, there have been decreases in the amount of bonus depreciation and other things we can take. So right. A company, a physician practice that maybe wants to go out and invest in $500,000 of the highest tech equipment to do a better job of saving lives, they have to factor that into the after-tax cost of their money. And the other challenge is, and the reason I say it's risky, is because nobody even knows what the tax rates are going to be. How can anybody even make that decision this month?
And that's the biggest problem, is that business owners need a 10-year plan. You know, if we had a 10-year plan out there where businesses could plan purchases of equipment, plan hiring of bodies, plan business opportunities for the next 10 years, that'd go a long way, as opposed to this, one and done, one and done, one and done, repeat.
Oh, boy. Well, let's take
One quarter of the show done.
You got that. Hey, come right back after these break. We'll come right back. We'll have...
it's one break, Joe.
One break. Stay tuned after these announcements. All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life with Don Epic, one half of Palio Epic, the great CPA firm up in North County, and Richard Musio, my co-host. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. We should tell people how to get a hold of Don.
Well, their website is Palio Epic, but it's polite with an O and epic with an extra P and an H. If you can remember all that, Palio Epic. .com or go to iymoney.com and click on the sponsor tab, and they're there amongst our other great sponsors. So how's that, Richard?
It's politoepipich.com.
It's like Scrabble or something. I don't know.
Anyway. And their phone number
50 points.
Yeah, 50 points. Their phone number is 760-599-9900. So, Don, I sent you an article late last week when we were getting ready for the show. It was written by Dean Zerbe. Dean Zerbe used to be the, let me get his title exactly right, used to be the senior tax counsel of the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance. So he's been involved in every major piece of legislation in this country, at least over the last 15 years. But I want to read this, and I want to get your thoughts. He says right now, I talked to him late last week, so this was still good through Friday. He said the outlook on tax reform is for a one-year patch for expiring tax provisions from the Bush 01 and 03 tax bills, as well as the Obama 2010 tax bill. It would include fixing the alternative minimum tax problem that so many taxpayers have and extending a lot of things, such as the research and development credit that I mentioned in the first quarter of the show that went away, and Section 179, which is the ability to expense equipment purchases for businesses, and it would most also likely include a cap on deductions for wealthy individuals. Again, looking like $250,000 for married being that key definition of wealthy, and maybe a slight increase in income tax rates. But then, this is the interesting part I want you to comment on. Hand in hand with the one-year patch would be an agreement about the general parameters of what reform and reconciliation would look like in 2013. In other words, how much in increased revenues and how much in savings from entitlements and how much in savings from discretionary spending would be agreed to, the details of which would not be ironed out until maybe August of 2013. What do you think about that? Would that work? Would that help businesses get more certainty?
Well, I think what's going to happen is what you just said, is that they are not going to have anything settled by 12/31. Obama and Boehner will come to an agreement where they'll have their teams work out a deal for 2013, and we'll have this one-year patch, as you call it. And what hopefully we get out of this is a long-term plan, and that long-term is hopefully more than 3 years, but something that both Democrats and Republicans can agree to. I mean, I think there has to be a meeting of the minds there where there's going to be increase in taxes, but there needs to be a cut in spending. We can't keep having no increase in tax and increase in spending. The two have, you know, it's just a matter of making ends meet.
So here's a question. You have successful clients. If they call you up this year and ask you to do income tax planning, what do you tell them to do?
This year was an unusual year where we told them to accelerate income and defer expense.
Okay, because that's usually the other way around.
Exactly.
Usually we push income into the future as long as we can, and we pay everything we can this year so we can write it off.
Exactly.
And why are you telling them this?
Well, because the tax rates are going up for the over $250,000 crowd. And the purpose there is, you know, you're going to pay it one way or another, but you might as well minimize. If you're going to be consistently over that bracket, then that method works perfectly.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I've been in this business 30 years. I think this is the first time I've ever told anybody that advice. But, I mean, if the shoe fits, as they say, yeah. Wear it. Really strange. We know tax rates are going up, and we know they're going up in 2013. We just don't know what the rates are going to be.
Well, can I just point out, I just found out some debt as a percentage of GDP numbers and where we stand globally. And right now, it's about, as of 2011... gross debt as percentage of GDP, United States, 102%. Only, you know, Italy's 120, Greece 165, and Japan 204%. But
wow.
the one below us is France at 86%. So we're getting in the danger zone, wouldn't you say, as far as our national situation federally?
Yes, this is as high as we've been since World War II.
Yeah, so we have to do something.
Yeah, but I think, well, we're going to raise taxes because I think Democrats are growing insistent that they want to see a rate increase on at least ordinary income for high-income earners. And
or how about corporate rates? I mean,
yeah, corporate rates is another, but I don't think taxing corporations more is necessarily the answer to raising taxes because of there's this unique attribute of taxing corporations which results ultimately in...
It'll pass to the consumer.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, costs get passed through to consumers, but secondly, to the extent that corporations pay a lot of tax on their profits, they then end up distributing their profits to their owners, and the owners pay tax again. I don't know it would raise taxes in the short term, but I don't think it would facilitate an economic recovery. What do you think, Don?
Actually, I just saw something this past week. There's a comment from Mark Mazur, who's a Treasury Assistant Secretary for Tax Policy. And one of the things that he commented on the president's framework for business tax reform was that the corporate tax rates would be reduced from 35% to 28%. And if that's the case, then I think that's good news for the business community.
Although there might be some caps on deductions,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see. But yeah, certainly having lower marginal rates on corporations would actually be beneficial, especially if the double tax piece, the piece that the individuals pay when earnings are distributed, is going up in rates.
But don't we hear that they're sitting on a lot of cash on their balance sheets right now with a lot of the large?
But again, Joe, it's not. My opinion is that's not because of income tax rates. It's because of income tax uncertainty. They don't know what the rules are going to be next year. So if you're looking at after-tax present valuing the cost versus the benefit of acquiring new equipment or hiring 10 employees, you can't really predict that accurately because you don't even know what the tax rates are going to be next year.
Okay, fair enough.
So just my opinion, because I know a lot of business owners and they're not sitting on the cash because they necessarily want to. They're just, I don't know what you see, Don, but to me, there's a deer in the headlights syndrome going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think talking about what Mark Mazur had indicated, going from 35 to 28%, I think if you look from a global standpoint, now the United States is getting more in line with what other countries' tax rates are. And the whole idea of, you know, you talk with some of these national corporations, and it's all about returning shareholder wealth. Mm-hmm. And they're always, that's their goal, mm-hmm. as opposed to the small, closely held business. It's, you know, the business owner itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a differentiation without question in terms of how corporations make, you know, as Mitt Romney said, corporations are people too. The point being that they have to make decisions that where the number one guiding principle is usually what's in the best interest of their customers, and number two comes what's in the best interest of their shareholders. And that's different than if you happen to own your own business where you're trying to make your own living or grow the business to a certain size so you can sell it and cash out. Much different, I think, game plan in terms of how you would approach potential economic decisions about what you invest in, how many people you hire, and so on. But certainly, with regard to people who own, for example, publicly traded corporations, it is predicted that two tax rates are going to be going up for high-income earners. One would be capital gains rates if that stock were sold and held for more than 1 year. In other words, if it were a long-term capital gain. And then also the tax rate on qualified dividends.
Yeah.
Which right now, it's the same rate, essentially. 15% is the maximum rate. If the sunset happens, the interesting thing that happens is capital gains rates go up to 20%, but ordinary dividends could be as high as 39.6 plus 3.8, which is 43.4. That would be a shock if that happens.
Well, with that, Richard, we've got to take our long middle break here, but we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money at the End of Your Life after these announcements, and I'll learn to speak better. All right, we are back with that great bonanza music. Thank you, Kevin Terrell, on the board, and over to Richard to thank some sponsors.
Yeehaw! Let's thank some sponsors.
Yippee-ki-yay.
UBS. Our major sponsor, UBS, Mr. Michael Quaranta and Mr. Drew Freitas. Thank you very much. Of course, Plato Epic CPAs, star of the show tonight, Don Epic, finest CPA firm in San Diego County. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal, great estate planning attorney. One of my favorite topics right now, if you want to help businesses improve your cash flow, cost segregation initiatives. Cost segregation, Joel Grushkin. Kurt Gotro, thank you very much, gentlemen. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, our guest last week. Regions Bank, Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton and the crew over at Regions Bank, San Diego's best business bank. And last but not least, Mr. Carl Sheeler with Business Valuations Limited. And boy, is Carl busy right now with all of the estate planning that's going on, all the gifting that's going on before the end of the year.
I can't imagine.
Before the estate tax law becomes a lot more onerous than it was.
And just to mention once again, Richard, if anyone wants to contact any of our sponsors, just go to iymoney.com and click on sponsors, and you can get all their information and phone numbers, et cetera, right there.
It's all right there, including my latest two presentations are up on the website, and I've got a couple more YouTube videos coming out to follow those on my YouTube channel. That'll be right after the new year. Hey, one more comment on dividends, and then I want to change topics with Don and move into some accounting. Dividends are another area where I think Democrats are somewhat split. First of all, whether or not it should be linked to the capital gains rates or not. But, you know, I mean, there's no doubt that increasing rates on dividends brings in a good amount of revenues. I mean, some projections showed it over $200 billion over the next 10 years. It's a really difficult issue because, as I mentioned, there's that double tax element because corporations are paying tax first. But you have to bear in mind that there's a great predisposition in terms of ownership of stocks in this country by older taxpayers, not younger taxpayers. And so to the extent that double tax, the tax on the individual piece is then disproportionately being paid for by the elderly. That might not be good public policy. And so I'd be really shocked. I don't want to shock anybody by my previous comment for too long by saying dividends could go up to 43.4. While it's true they could, I suspect dividends will probably be capped at something like 20%, which if you're a high-income earner would be 23.8 because of the 3.8% Obamacare tax add-on. I would be really shocked if they went up to 43.4. How about you, Don? I mean, do you think they could ever possibly get back into the 40s?
I would hope not.
I would hope not, too. So I'm guessing 23. My best guess is 23.8 would be the worst case on dividends, which is a lot more than 15, but not nearly 43.4. So, Don, let's switch gears a little bit to business. I know your firm does a great job of auditing and reviewing financial statements. You audit and review financial statements for some clients that I know really well, but there's, I think, a greater value that you provide in terms of financial information than just that. Could you describe that for us?
Sure. One of the things that we like to do is forward-looking planning, which in this area of being able to manage cash, it's huge. So we do a lot of cash flow forecasting for our clients. And the idea is, we have certain clients that may have agreements with, say their lender or financier who has a set budget for the year on when they're going to advance monies. And so we have basically a tight budget plan in place, and we break it down by the week, if you will. And the idea is that the financier is knowing that those monies are being well spent during this initial phase until the revenues kick in to help support the business. But I had an example of that this past year, and we're repeating it again for 2013.
I know, yeah. Well, I think, in 2008 when the economy crashed, I think many, many businesses, my guess is over 90% of U.S. businesses didn't have something like this in place.
Yeah, that's...
It's my guess. I mean, that's just from empirical evidence, from looking at how many businesses went out of business and having X amount of friends that own businesses and knowing what they do or don't do. And obviously, you can't always predict future accurately, but to the extent that your business has a cash flow projection that shows what's going to happen if business is great, what's going to happen if business is okay, what's going to happen if, unfortunately, business is really, really lousy. If you don't have that in place, I would guess your odds of going out of business are about four times as high as if you do have that in place, because you just don't have... Here's my impression, Don. The access to capital these days is so limited that if your business runs into a cash flow crunch and you haven't predicted that by at least 6 months in advance, you're probably out of business.
Right.
I mean, unless you happen to have deep pockets yourself.
Right. I think, that's basically what we see with a lot of our clients who, are working closely with their banks. I mean, I've seen a lot of the small community banks take a more active role in the success of these businesses. With that, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you have a good banker, a good CPA, a lot of these businesses will get through those tough times, but it's those, you'll find a lot of these small businesses, they look at this, dealing with the CPA or dealing with the bank as a chore. And quite honestly, we are excellent resources for these companies. And I think that's the one thing that some of these smaller businesses really need to, they have to get serious about running a business as opposed to taking a hobby to the next level.
Yeah, and one of the challenges, of course, is a lot of business owners don't want to write a check to a CPA firm to do planning or to any other planner. And you don't necessarily write checks to banks to do business with banks, but if you are borrowing from banks, you're paying interest and so on. But
what's your watchword, Richard? If you fail to plan, then plan to fail.
Yeah, John Wooden, right. If you're failing to plan is planning to fail. Yeah. The point being that the access to capital is so limited that if you happen to run out of it, you almost never can reverse that result, unless, again, the owner happens to have deep pockets personally. But then again, you have to ask the question, should the owner put more money into something that isn't going the way that you want it to be going, or should they spend their time doing something more productive? Mm-hmm. And so clearly banking, CPAs, and of course the other thing, Don, I think we all know this, bankers and CPAs and everybody else who's in the mix need to find better ways, I think, to collaborate, to work for the best interest of their client. And that doesn't always happen in the business world, I think in part, because access to information is sometimes limited. I think if you've got a CPA like Plato Epic that's putting forth things like cash flow projections and so on, and that information is being shared with bankers or financiers or other parties who are critical to the success of a business, then all of a sudden all the advisors are no longer operating in some form of darkness. They all have access to everything that's important to know, and I think collaboration follows. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get to that point as a business owner, you're probably being underserved by your advisors. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. And the other thing is transparency, too. One of the clients I'm working with right now is using a financier, and the experience we've had with this company this year has just been tremendous, and a lot of it is the transparency that we've reflected in the financial statements, in the planning. We are upfront with the financier when things start to go sideways, and they're on board with it, and that's the one thing that they've been so appreciative of through this process is the transparency.
Yeah, lenders hate bad surprises.
No kidding.
They really hate bad they like good surprises, but they, you know, there never even should be a good surprise. That should be predictable too, shouldn't it? But they really hate bad surprises.
Yeah.
So what kind of tax rate are you projecting in your cash flow? I'm just curious. Are you assuming everything's up in 13?
Actually, the tax plans that we've sent out, basically, we're assuming, no AMT patch right now.
Okay,
there probably will be.
Yeah, there probably will be.
But we want to be conservative. Again, it's the whole surprise.
Yeah, predict the worst case.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the alternative minimum tax is such now that if I see a tax return that's not an alternative minimum tax, I run around and show it to people because I'm so surprised. I haven't seen one that isn't. You know, I'm even an alternative minimum tax, and I'm anybody know a good CPA out there? Because it's like everybody who makes any money.
You live in California.
If you live in California, you got real estate taxes and state income taxes. So, Don, a lot of clients complaining about Prop 30, the retroactive tax increase? Cause I haven't heard a lot of complaints, but I'm curious what you're hearing.
Well, they don't know that yet. That's why.
Oh, they don't know. Okay. Hey, everybody, listen up.
Buy a paper.
Yeah.
Your tax rate just went up 12 months ago, but you are only now finding out.
They'll find out in April.
Well, it's. I think the legislation's good. How we're paying for it, that's debatable. But you got to pay for it some way.
Yeah.
Obviously, when you look at the potential for the highest marginal rate federal to be 43.8 and the highest California rate marginally to be 13.3, I can add that's 57.1. I haven't seen that in a long, long time. But again, I'm going to continue to argue. I don't think it's the tax rate that upsets the business owner so much as the uncertainty and not knowing what it's going to be in 17 days. Because, you know, when I started in the business, the top federal marginal rate was 70%, and we had mm-hmm. a bunch of bright CPAs who were doing good tax planning for wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's the uncertainty, not so much the rate.
With that, it is certain that we will take a break right now, Richard. So stay tuned. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money in Your Life after these announcements. All right, we're back for the last segment of It's Your Money in Your Life with Richard Musio, my co-host, and our illustrious guest on Epic of Epic, Polito Epic, the great CPAs of North County.
So, Don, you had a funny story about your last name and something your daughter said in school. But tell us the story, because this is hilarious.
Okay, Allie, you listening to this? One of her friends was asking her, or telling her how she had such a cool last name. And her comment was, yeah, my middle name is awesome.
Good for you, Allie.
Of course, Epic has become kind of
Allie is awesome. So I've yes. met her many times.
Epic, of course, EPIC has become kind of an awesome word.
It's epic, dude. But it's always followed by the word dude. Epic, dude.
Who started that? Was that Spicoli?
I think that was Spicoli.
Who the hell started
that?
But anyway. But you said when the teacher was calling the roll for your daughter in school.
Now, my oldest daughter, Brittany.
Yes.
Because when I was a kid, Epic wasn't a cool name.
Right.
Okay. Brittany goes to freshman year in high school during roll call.
Which school? We can say.
She went to Cathedral Catholic.
Okay. All right.
And so anyways, during roll call, they're going through and comes up to Brittany Epic. And she hears in the background, oh, that's such a cool last name.
I agree.
Don, question on a slightly different topic. We've been talking about all this income tax uncertainty. My joke is I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not so sure. But on payroll taxes, we have this payroll tax holiday that's about to end, and it's a big deal to wage earners because it's a few $100 a year for most of them that they may have in their pocket next year and they may not. What's going to happen there, do you think?
That's part of this. The laws that are set to change in 2013 is the end of the temporary payroll tax cut, which is the 2% FICA tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is that the employee has that 2% break. The employers are still paying the full 6.2%.
Right, but 2% is a lot of money to a lot of people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's taxed up to $106,000
or so. Yeah. So, I mean, if at that level, it's over $2,000 a year. Yeah, I mean, most people are predicting that it will probably stay in place or be put back in place for 2013 just because it affects the middle class. And President Obama is committed to not raising taxes on the middle class, and this, in effect, would be an income tax increase on the middle class. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So let's talk about the timing for getting a deal.
And the fiscal cliff, if you
and
like.
And the fiscal cliff. Don, when do you think something's going to happen? I mean, you're a CPA, so you own a crystal ball. Pull it out and tell us.
I wish. Yeah, I think, honestly, we'll see Congress, Washington, D.C., if you will, come to some type of agreement before end of year where they will iron out a plan in 2013. And the stuff that I've been reading is probably a three-year plan in play after that.
Well, which would make sense because we know Obama's not going to get reelected because he can't run again. So a three-year plan would at least give him almost 4 years of his own income tax policy. He really didn't get 4 years of his own income tax policy for his first term because it was basically an extension of the Bush tax cuts. Mm-hmm. I think it may run all the way up until the inauguration date of January 20th. I know a lot of people initially said it'll be done by the end of this week, the 21st. I mean, if it is, well, the Cubs are going to win the World Series, too. and somehow the Chargers are going to go 5-3 to make the playoffs over the last three games. Because I don't see it happening by Friday.
No.
Even though about 2 weeks ago, a lot of people might have been predicting that. I was reading, you know, Boehner's recent comments over the last day. I mean, he's got his heels dug in so firm on the no income tax increases whatsoever platform that I don't see how anything can happen in 5 days. But we'll see. So, Don, we got a few minutes left. What's the best advice? I just want to change topics. What's the best advice you can give business owners right now, given all of this weird uncertainty that everybody's facing?
Well, at a minimum, they should have a budget in place for 2013. And that budget should include not only profit and loss, but also cash management. You know, the idea for 2013 with probably, you know, no movement in the interest rates, no movement in inflation, you know, it's probably going to be more of the same of what happened in 2012. From a general perspective.
In other words, a lot of money might still be sitting on the sidelines this time next year.
Sure.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. For one thing, there's not a lot of incentive to invest money right now in between income tax uncertainty.
Although I do see something online, Richard, where it says Boehner has opened the door to tax hikes. I don't know what.
Yeah, he's opened. He's opened the door, but that involves significant entitlement cuts.
Maybe just a crack, but
yeah, maybe just a crack. I guess it'll be I'm sure it's going to be an interesting week this week in terms of the rhetoric that's passed back and forth. I'm sure it's going to be interesting. I think the one thing we haven't talked about, too, I think the estate tax. I know, Don, you guys, well, I'm sort of your estate tax department, but there's a definite chance that we might get to keep the $5 million or $5.12 million death exemption. It's also looking more likely that the gift exemption is going to be dropped back down while the estate tax exemption stays higher. So we are encouraging people who are ultra wealthy who are inclined to give away $5 million a year or thereabouts to do it this year because there's a really good chance the gifting limit is going to be reduced next year, even though the death exemption may not get reduced or get reduced very much. And that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. That's why there's so much gifting going on before the end of this year. So estate taxes is part of this debate as well. And, you know, if I could predict the future, well, I wouldn't have to have a radio show and just rake in the money, right, Don?
You mean both.
I know. How long have you been in this business, Don?
Oh, let's see, 27 years.
Have you ever seen it this uncertain, ever?
Well, I came in play right after the 86 Reform Act.
After the 86 Reform Act, yes.
And we're due for another Reform Act.
Yeah, I came in 1980. There was a big one then, and then 84. Because when I came in, I mean, marginal rates were at 70% federal, I mean, clearly dropping rates did have some positive impact on the account. I mean, if you remember Reaganomics, actually worked for a while.
But I don't think there, I mean, talk about uncertainty in the economy, too. I don't think we had this much financial crisis going on back
then. Oh, no.
You're right.
That's the difference. Yeah. The volatility now and the limited access to capital.
Yeah.
Has changed the playing field dramatically for business owners.
Although I do remember, you know, interest rates at 17-18% on your credit card debt and all this.
Well, in the early 80s, it was.
And you remember 20%. The lines of.
Yeah, but people could get their hands on capital, though. That's the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
We're good friends with Congressman Scott Peters, Richard, and you've had some.
Scott says that innovation is one of the three things that he really, really wants get that, and then education.
Yeah, so let's hold his feet to the fire.
We're going to
wrap up right here.
Don, thanks for coming out tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Don. And get well, Paul Polito. And thank you to Kevin Terrell, our board operator. And thank you to Craig Blanke, get well also. And Carmen Cheely, our con executive. And to our programming genius, Dave Sniff. Thank you. Hey, next week, Judge Robert C. Coates of the Superior Court, retired. So you want to be here for that show. So have a great week, everybody. Take care. Good night.
Hey, Miss D here from the Mike Slater Morning Show on 760 KFMB. We are all crazy busy right now getting ready for the holidays. We're decorating our houses, we're planning parties and get-togethers, we're cooking, we're running errands, we're shopping. And while we're out Christmas shopping, we hear. And that lets us know the wonderful Salvation Army volunteers are standing outside stores collecting money for those in need. Well, I have a confession. I don't always make time to stop and try to find some change for these folks. We're going to make it easy on you. You can donate to the Salvation Army while sitting at your computer or right from your smartphone or on your iPad. And with a few clicks, we can raise money online, which gets to work right here in San Diego. Go to 760kfmb.com, click on the red kettle, and you'll see Mike Slater and me. Donate to my red kettle, Miss D's. I'm going to get a little more money in my kettle for the Salvation Army than Mike Slater this year. It's my mission. Thank you so much from 760 KFMB and the Salvation Army.
We follow the story. We have